Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I want you to take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter number 8 with me this morning. Luke chapter number 8, we've been looking at some of the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've really primarily been looking at it on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And this past Sunday night, I began looking at the three different miracles that Jesus performed when he raised someone from the dead. And they was miraculous miracles, amen, to think that Jesus brought somebody back from the dead. And I want to say this to you, I believe that's exactly what he done. And we looked at the widow's son this past Wednesday night and began looking at that, or this past Sunday night, and began looking at that. And I had all intentions this morning on preaching on Jesus raising Jairus' daughter from the dead, which is here in this passage this morning that I'm going to read to you. But really, before you get to him raising Jairus' daughter from the dead in this passage, Jesus touches a lady with an issue of blood. Or can I say it this way? A lady with an issue of blood touches Jesus, and a great miracle takes place in this passage of Scripture. So this morning, before we get to Jairus' daughter, we really need to take time to look at this lady. We don't know who she is. We don't know her name. We don't know how old she is, but we do know a few things about her. And I want to talk to you about this lady with an issue of blood this morning. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter number 8, and I want to pick up reading in verse number 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jairus's feet, or at Jesus's feet, and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all had denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Messiah, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out from me." Verse 47 says this, "And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace.'" Now, Father, I pray that you'd help us today. I pray, God, that your will and way would be done in the service this morning. God, thank you for good choir singing. God, thank you for a wonderful special song. Thank you for a good morning in Sunday school. God, thank you for a good crowd in your house today. But God, it will be all in vain unless he, the Holy Spirit, helps us today. I pray, Lord, for a little while that you'd use us, bring back to our remembrance, God, the things that we've studied, God. We'll be careful to give you the praise. Lord, if there's one here this morning that don't know you as their personal Savior, may they be saved today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. When studying the miracles of Christ, the majority of all of these miracles you'll find in more than one of the Gospels. Whenever you come to this particular one, you'll find it in Matthew chapter number 9, and you'll also find it in Mark chapter number 5. Here in Luke, we read the account of this, and one thing that is interesting, and I always try to read all the accounts, one thing that's interesting in Matthew chapter number 9, whenever you read this, the verse that is similar to verse 44, the Bible said this, come behind him and touch the border of his garment. In the book of Matthew, whenever you read that, it simply says that she touched the hem, the H-E-M of his garment. In other words, it was the very bottom of the garment. Whenever you guys go buy a new pair of pants, what do? They hem your pants. They fit the bottom of it. They sew that to fit to you. So she touched the very bottom of Jesus' garment that day. So here's what I want to preach on. I've used this title before, but I've never used this outline. I want to preach on this thought. Touching the hem inside the hem. Touching the H-I-M inside the hem. And can I say something to you today? That day, she did touch the Lord Jesus Christ, and her life was changed forever. When you study chapter number 8 of the book of Luke, there's some very interesting things going on. Let me show you a couple of things by way of introduction. You see the Lord's power in chapter number 8 of the book of Luke. And can I say this to you today? We serve a very powerful God today. We serve a God that was the creator of all the world. I went into the youngest Sunday school class just above the nursery this morning, and they were singing, my God is so great, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that my God cannot do. And can I say something to you this morning, church? That is our God. He is a great God. He is a powerful God. There is absolutely nothing that our God cannot do. If He can create the world, amen. A lot of people says this. He stepped out on nothing and made everything. I don't know if he stepped out or if he simply sat on his throne in glory. But I do know this. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He made the rolling mountains that we enjoy today. He is a powerful God. When we come to Luke chapter number 8, we see his power. All throughout Luke chapter number 8, we see his power as a preacher in the parable of the sower. We see his power as the creator in the stilling of the storm. We see his power as a deliverer as he heals the maniac of Gadara. Could you imagine what it was like that day to see that man that had been demon possessed for years and years, and Jesus healed him that day? My soul, what a sight that must have been. We see his power as a deliverer. We see his power as a healer here as he touches this woman with an issue of blood. But we also see his power as the Son of God. We see his deity in that he raises one from the dead. Here's what I want us to look at today. This lady with the issue of blood for just a little while. I began to think about this and the condition of this lady and what all she has been through in her life. Let me show you a few things this morning, and I'll be done. Number one, I want you to note a failing condition. A failing condition this morning. This health problem, which Christ healed this day, was a very serious condition for this lady. It was an issue of blood. In other words, she had, I'll just say it this way, she had a bleeding problem for 12 years. She had this problem and the length of it and this failing condition that she had in her life. Note this with me this morning. There's the defining of the condition, a woman having an issue of blood. But there is the disgrace in this condition. The disgrace in this condition. This woman had to declare herself unclean. This woman had a disgraceful condition that was on her life. I thought about this, the duration of her condition. Now I'm headed somewhere, stay with me. The duration for 12 years, 12 years, I thought about that, and I thought about that, and I thought about that, and you know what? Here's what I come to the conclusion of. 12 years is a long time. We may not think it is, but in all honesty, 12 years is a long time to have a physical condition that is failing you. And can I say it this way? It was an embarrassing condition. It was a condition that she could not control with inside of herself. It was a failing condition that had lasted 12 years of her life. Matter of fact, whenever you begin to think about this, and you that knows your Bible reads the rest of this and knows about Jairus' daughter, how many remembers how old Jairus' daughter was? She was 12 years old. Now, you say, preacher, is there any similarity to this? Is there anything that associates the two together? I don't know. Some writers say this. Some writers think that this lady right here with an issue of blood is Jairus' daughter's mama. I personally don't believe that, because why would a mama leave her baby that is dying to go get help for herself and not her baby? I don't believe it's her daughter. But I do believe this, that there probably is some similarities here. For 12 years of her life, she has had this issue. Now I want to ask you a question today. What issue do you have in your life? Think about it with me this morning. What issue do you have in your life? The Lord allowed Leslie and I for 5 years to travel when we first got married, and worked in and out of juvenile correctional facilities and public schools, even all over the United States. And along those journeys, there was sometimes, Brother Josh, that we would stop off at adult prisons and go in and preach in some of those adult prisons. I've been on several different state death rows, matter of fact, I've seen the electric chair in the state of Kentucky. They tried to get me to sit in, and I told them they'd lost their mind. I was not getting it. They said, it's not hooked to nothing. I said, I don't care if it's hooked to nothing or not. I am not sitting in that chair. That's like lay down on the table where they do lethal injection. You've lost your mind, man. But one of the things that I found in working with adults is this, especially young adults or middle-aged adults, is this right here. They have issues. They have issues. And one of the biggest issues that they face is this: forgiving themselves for their past. Forgiving themselves for their past. So I'm going to ask you this question this morning. What is the issue in your life today? Is that issue bitterness? Is that issue anger? Is that issue malice? Is that issue a health issue? Is that issue forgiving yourself? What is the issue? She had a failing condition that day. She had an issue of blood. She had an issue of blood. I thought about this. Not only is there a failing condition, but I thought about this. I see a familiar client in this text. I see a familiar client. What did the Bible say? The Bible said this. The Bible said that there was a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians. All, not upon a physician, but physicians. In other words, multiple doctors she had went to. Now, I want to say something to you today. We have numerous people even sitting in here right now that's in the health field, works in the health field. And I thank God for doctors. I thank God for nurses. I thank God for the knowledge that He gave them. Are you with me? But there is sometimes some things happens to you, and there ain't nobody but God that can fix that. She was a familiar client. One writer said it this way. She went to Dr. Don't Worry, the psychiatrist. She went to Dr. Diet, the dietitian. And she even stopped off by Dr. Know-It-All, the specialist. She'd been to every one of them, Brother Josh. She'd been to every one of them. But you know what the problem was? Her condition remained the same. Her condition remained the same. She had tried everything she knew to do. She had spent every bit of the money. The Bible said she spent her living. I wonder what that was. Now, if you was like Brother Robert, that's a couple $1 million that she spent. If you was like Brother Josh, probably a couple trillion. If you was like me, it's a $2 bill, baby. But everything, Gavin, everything, her living, she has spent. Why? Because of this issue that she has in her life. Can I say it this way? She's willing to do anything. She's willing to do anything to take care of this issue in her life. She's willing to do anything to take care of this issue in her life. Even though she was a familiar client, even though she'd been to the specialist, the dietitian, the psychiatrist, she'd been to all of them, there was still a failing condition. There's still a failing condition. You ever had something go on your mind? That's a dumb question, isn't it? But have you ever had something on your mind that you thought, man, you know what? I'm gonna get me some help with this. You ever been struggling with something and you thought, man, this is and I don't know why the Lord keeps taking me back here, but struggling with something from your past. And you go to brother such and such and you talk to brother such and such about it. Or if you're a lady, you go to sister such and such and you talk to sister such and such about it. And man, they give you some verses maybe about it. And you leave and you still just feel overwhelmed by that. They say, well, read this and do this or do that. Or take long walks in the afternoon and listen to relaxing music. They say, go do this, go do that. And you do everything that they say to do, but that issue is still there. And I say, that's where this lady's at. The doctors have said, Brother Josh, try this, and she's tried that, and the issue's still there. They said, try this, and she tried that, and the issue is still there. They said, try this, and she tried that, and the issue is still there, Miss Kayla. And for 12 long years of her life, she has become a familiar client, but has a failing condition. I wonder if maybe there's somebody this morning that has been battling some issue in your life. And you're thinking in the backside of your mind, is this ever going to be resolved? Am I ever going to get peace about this? Am I ever going to get joy about this? Am I ever going to be able to move on from this? There was a failing condition in a familiar client. She had tried everything everybody had said to do. But I wonder, somewhere along the way, if she didn't meet somebody, are you with me? If she didn't meet somebody that said, well, what's your issue? And she said, my issue is this. Now, we know not all of the miracles of Christ are recorded. Not all of them are in the Bible. Not everything that he done in his 3.5 years are here. Not everything is there. I wonder if maybe along the way sometime she met somebody, maybe even just a day or two prior to this, and that individual says something like this. You know what? There was a day in my life that I was struggling with a very similar situation of what you're struggling with. It may not have been exact, but it was something very similar to that. And you know what? As I was going down the road, I heard somebody around a group of people that was talking, and I made my way over there to him because I had never heard anybody speak the way this man spoke. I had never saw nobody carry themselves the way this man carried himself. And when I got over there and began to listen, I found out that it was a man by the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And as I began to listen to him, he looked at me and he talked to me. And that day he fixed the issue that I have. So I want to tell you something. If you'll find that man, the failing condition that you're struggling with, and even though you're a familiar client to all the doctors around here, if you'll find him, I promise you, there will be help for your condition. I see a failing condition. I see a familiar client. But then this morning, I'm moving quickly. I see a faith in Christ. I see a faith in Christ. Can I say this to you this morning? The Bible says this, that she came behind him. and touched the border of his garment. She came behind him and touched the border. Didn't even really touch him physically. She just got a hold of the border of his garment. Now you got to understand their garments of that day. Thank God we don't wear the garments that they did. You say, well, I wish I did. God bless you. I'm glad I don't. You got to understand, he had on an outer cloak, if you want to say it that way. There was probably what we would consider today a long dress, a long flowing dress. And he had probably had sandals on that day. And the Bible said this, that she just touched the hem of his garment. Now the Bible's already told us that they had thronged him that day. In other words, they was all over him. They was all, now that's my teenage daughter if you're visiting with us, okay? I'm not just beating up on somebody else's. But they was all over him. How would he know that somebody, Brother Jerry, touched the hem of his garment? She had so much faith in Christ that day. She knew what she had been doing hadn't worked. She knew she had tried everything that the world said do, and it didn't work. She had been, Brother Josh, to every doctor, every physician, everything, and it didn't work. She'd emptied her billfold. She'd emptied her savings account. She may have sold her house. She had spent her living, and it didn't work. But something caused her to have so much faith in Christ that she thought if she could just touch the hem of his garment, that she would be made whole. That if she could just get to him, if she could just get to him, all of the issues of her life could be taken care of. The faith in of Christ, there was the trial of her faith, there was the touch of her faith. But here's what I want you to see. There was the triumph of her faith. There was, what did the Bible say? The Bible said this. Came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was stanched. That means stopped. There was the triumph of our faith. One writer said this, oh, touch the hem of his garment, and thou too shalt be free. His saving power this very hour shall give new life to thee. I see this. There's a failing condition. There's a familiar climb. There's a faith in Christ. But I've talked to you all morning to get to this last point and I'll be done. There was a faithful contributor. There was a faithful contributor. Many of you know that over the past 10 years, I've helped a lot with benefit auctions. And I enjoy doing them, man. I enjoy helping with them. We always have a good time. And I do, brother. I love doing them. Matter of fact, here in just a few weeks, we're going to do one. Several people is working on it. They've asked if I'd help them with it that Saturday. I told them I'd be glad to for Brandon Collins. And I'm looking forward to that. It's a great time that we really see just how good of a community that we live in. Everybody comes together. But here's one thing that I always do, Brother Jerry. If we're going to a benefit auction and I'm going to have anything to do with it, I'm going to stack the crowd if I can. You say, what do you mean by that? I know some people that's got pretty deep pocketbooks. Does that make sense? They've got money. They've got money. And they don't mind giving their money for a good cause. So you know what I do? I call them up and I try to go see them in person, but if I can't find them in person, then I'll call them up. And Brother Matthew, I'll tell them, hey, look, this is a great cause. I don't know if there'll be anything there that you want that night, but I'm not worried about if you want anything at all. I just want your money, okay? That's the only thing we're interested in, is getting your money to help this family. Matter of fact, if you go to Oak Grove Market today, there's a cement statue outside of Oak Grove Market. A cement statue. Greg Hite never bid on it, but he paid $300 for it one night. You remember that, Brother Craig Golden? You was there that night and helped us set that up. He throwed it off on Greg, and Greg paid $300 for a cement statue that night. You say, what was you doing? We was going to give some money one way or the other. They're faithful contributors. You can count on them when you have a benefit, Brother Brian, to show up and to give to it. We stacked the crowd one night and sold a cardboard box with a hole in it for over $600. Cardboard box. Well, y'all all come. You can't never tell what we're going to sell y'all, right? And it was all for a good cause. You said, preacher, why did you say that? There was a faithful contributor in this story. There was a man in this story that they knew if they could get to where he was at, everything was going to be all right. Oh, she had struggled her whole life. She had struggled her, or I don't know that it was her whole life, but can I say 12 years of having that sickness, it probably seemed like her whole life. For 12 long years, she had struggled with this. She had spent all that she had. Oh, but she heard about a faithful contributor that day. I thought about this. There was the contact of the curing. She touched the border of his garment. There was the celerity of the curing. That celerity simply means the speed of it. Immediately, her issue of blood stanched or stopped. Immediately, there was the completeness of her curing. The completeness. The Bible said this, that she was made whole that day. She was made whole that day. I want to ask you this question. Come start playing soft, if you will. I want to ask you a question this morning. What is the issue that you're dealing with? Can I say it this way? We all have issues. We all have issues. I've said this numerous times. When I walked through that door right there, I got my Bible tucked underneath my arm, and I got a smile on my face. Man, I act like I'm on top of the world. But about 95% of the time, the world's on top of me. Preachers are not extraordinary people. They're ordinary people that God chooses to place a call on their life to preach. We all have issues. We all have issues. This woman's issue had been for 12 years. This woman's issue was a health issue. But she found a faithful contributor. A faithful contributor. She had so much faith that she thought if she could just brush the very edge of his garment, that she would be made whole. You know what the Bible said? Thy faith. It wasn't necessarily her touching the hem of his garment. It was that she had faith in the hem inside the hem. It was her faith that day that made her whole. Whatever the issue is in your life today, whatever it is, we all have a past. Every one of us, no matter who we are, especially if we're adults, we have a past. Some of them is not as quote-unquote checkered as the others, but we all have a past. What in that past is your issue? What is it that holds you down and keeps you from serving God completely. Whatever the issue is, I want to say this, bitterness will kill you. It will absolutely kill you. And let me tell you the thing about bitterness. You're the loser in bitterness. Because whoever you're bitter towards, I guarantee you, they're living their daily life. They're happy. They're not worried about you. And you're the loser in that. I said, "Preacher, you called me a loser." Not if you're not bitter, I didn't. We're the ones that suffer from that. And you know what that, whatever that issue is, anger. I love young people. My heart is still young people. I love pastoring. And the good thing about pastoring is I get to work with young people. I love investing in young people. Friday morning, I got to spend some time with some young rednecks, is what I call them. We had a stinking blast. I was teaching them about PPE and the fire department. And man, we just had a ball. I love young people. But young people have these issues. I wasn't treated right. Maybe, and I'm just trying to follow the Lord, maybe something went wrong that they feel in a mom and a dad situation. And this anger builds up, and this malice builds up, this bitterness builds up, and it's going to kill you if you don't get your issue took care of. But I want you to hear me, and I want you to hear me well. Quit going to everybody else. Understand there is a faithful contributor here this morning, and his name is Jesus. At that moment that she touched the hem of his garment, she had all of faith that he would take care of it, and he did. If you'll come to him with all faith, trusting him, and leave it with him, that's the key. Leave it with him. He'll take care of it. I had no intentions of going this much on bitterness. But are you going to die a bitter death? Preacher, I wasn't done right. Well, you know what? I agree. There's some that wasn't. Preacher, this was happening. A loved one was taken away from me. And I don't understand why that had to. I don't understand it either. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. That issue in our life, you may have carried it for a long time, but I sure am thankful to report to you today that there's a God that will help you with that. You can bring your issue to Him by faith this morning. And I promise you, based on the authority of God's Word, He'll fix it for you. I give you this in closing. Whenever you study your Bible and the manners and the customs of your Bible, anybody with an issue of blood, whenever their issue stopped, their blood stopped, any lady that had this for an extended amount of time, any time that stopped, they had to go in seclusion for 7 days to make sure that blood had stopped, that bleeding had stopped. Had to go in seclusion and be separated away from everybody else for 7 days. And then if that issue didn't come back, Miss Regina, on the 8th day, they went to the priest and made sacrifice. And that sacrifice made them whole again and allowed them to come back out into society according to the law. But this day, Jesus did instantly what it took the law 8 days to do. And what the world may say, it takes you a lifetime to get over. There's a God this morning that instantly, you don't have to go in seclusion nowhere. You don't have to separate yourself out from nobody. There's a God that instantly this morning can heal your issue. The question is this: will you let him? Father, as we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Lord, no one's looking around this morning, and you know the need of this service. God, In my mind, I envisioned the message going a little bit different route. God, I tried to obey you, and Father, I studied this week, and I've tried now to deliver what you've put on our hearts, and I pray, God, that you'd take our feeble efforts and bless them. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and nobody's looking around. I wonder if maybe there'd be one this morning that would slip your hand up and say, "Hey, preacher, I'll be real honest, preacher, I got an issue. God knows what that issue is, but I need the Lord to help me with that issue in my life. Preacher, would you pray for me? I see that hand." Somebody else, "Preacher, would you pray for me? Preacher, would you pray for me? I see that hand. Preacher, there's something in my life that I need the Lord to help me with." Somebody else this morning, "Preacher, pray for me." She's going to play through a verse, and I'm not going to pump and prime this morning and try to get people in the altar. There's several already in the altar. But I promise you, if you've got an issue this morning, there's a faithful contributor that will help you. You don't have to leave with that. You don't have to leave with that burden. There's a God that will help you today. Most importantly, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, there's a God that will save you today. You don't have to leave here wondering about where you'll spend eternity. There's a God that loves you and a God that will forgive you of your sins and come into your heart and save you today. As she plays, you do business with the Lord. Just before we close, I'm thankful for that faithful contributor. I'm glad I met him. They sung about it this morning. That lady met him that day. Her life was never the same. Could you imagine as she walked away and began to walk up the street that day? Our Father, you know each and every need around the altar, and I pray, God, that you'd meet it and bless it as only you can. Father, Lord, I pray that you would help our church. I pray, God, that you'd meet the need of our church. Father, I believe there's some issues, Lord, this morning that you'd be willing to help if people would allow you to. I pray, God, that maybe in their seat they've done business with you. God, maybe going up the road they'll do business with you. God, most of all, if there's one here lost, I pray that you save them today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're going home in just a minute. I heard this, and you can keep playing for a minute if you want to. I heard this story. I'm going to give it to you, and we're going home. I heard this story the other day. Matter of fact, Brent and I had talked about this, but I didn't know the whole story just the other day. This lady, as she walked off, it made me think about the story. It said here a few weeks ago, off the coast of the Outer Banks, there was a man fishing by himself. And he fell out of his boat, didn't have the kill switch hooked to him. The boat was just at an idle, and the boat went off away from him. And went, from my understanding, a few miles away. That man was laying out in the ocean, bobbing up and down. Nobody around him, no way to signal for help, no way to call for help. And there was a man and his son fishing. And they saw the boat as it just happened, as the Lord sent it by them. Brother Brian, they went to that boat, and one of them got off on that boat. They recognized it didn't seem that there was nobody on it. They got off on that boat. Whenever they got off on that boat, you that knows several guys fishing here a lot knows this. He had a GPS on that boat. There was tracking where that boat had been. And the guys turned that boat around and followed that GPS track back. And as they did, they come across that man that had for several hours then been laying out in the middle of the ocean, bobbing up and down, wondering if anybody would ever come back and get him or find him. And they say it's a true story. They said that they got that man and pulled him up in his boat and said he laid in the bottom of that boat and said all he could do was say this, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Said they got him to the shore and got him to the hospital, and he actually ended up spending a couple of days in the hospital. They said that everybody that went into that room and seen him, here's what he would say. I sure am thankful for that man that came by and got me when I was lost out in the ocean. Said that's all he would say. I sure am thankful. I sure am thankful for that man that come out and got me when I was lost in the middle of that ocean. I sure am thankful. Said all the way riding back, he'd just say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know what? I wonder when this woman left that day and went walking down the street, I wonder if all she could say was, thank you. Thank you. I sure am thankful for that man that knew the issue that I had in my life. And he came to where I was at. And can I just say this? The rest of my life, I just want to say thank you. Thank you that you knew where I was at. Thank you that you knew the need that I had. Thank you that you met every one of them along the, in Sunday school this morning. I went out to the young adult Sunday school class and shared some special prayer requests, one of them being Jeremiah Williams. And we was talking about that and the rise of COVID, and I said, but wait, we got to stop just a minute and say, but thank you, Lord, that we're sitting here still. Thank you, Lord, that you still are good to us. And if we're not careful, we'll get our eyes on all the storm around us. We'll get our eyes on all the issues around us. May we never forget to say thank you. Just thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I'm still here. Thank you that I'm still standing. Thank you that the storm didn't kill me. Thank you. As we go this week, let's thank Him for the issues that He has fixed in our life. Amen.